and welcome to Taking Care of Business. I'm Jackie Mitchell. Great you could join us today as we talk about a change in business, but for the good. Social purpose of business is a growing trend, doing good and making money. Today's mission-led show is brought to you by our good friends at eView Real Estate. Today, I am ably joined by my special co-host, people and technology expert, Toby Travenar. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie. It's nice to talk about a subject where you can actually do good while doing business.
Yeah,
well, it's a combination of the two, isn't it?
It is, and it's interesting because it's often discussed as a myth that it's not possible. But today, I think at the end of the show, anyone listening is going, actually, it is possible.
Yeah. Look, I work on a philosophy that says giving precedes receiving. And a lot of the time, the more you put out into the business world, into your local community, the more you'll find that people will come back to you. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's considered a third sector of the Australian economy. So after private and public, you then have the not-for-profit or social purpose as a sector now. Mm. And it's certainly growing.
Yeah, fantastic.
Really growing. So it's actually really good. And we're going to discuss why it's growing.
Well, certainly a lot of, I know I'm going to sound very old here for a second, you know, the crusty,
on the
cusp between baby boomer and Gen X, but I think a lot of the newer generation people who are coming through as employees, one of the first things they now ask is, what is your social responsibility program? What's your sustainability principles within the business? Mm. So it's becoming really important for people as employees to choose the company that they're going to spend time with.
Yeah, so they feel they're making a difference and there's a purpose behind it. So it's that altruistic need, I suppose, of particularly the newer generations. But the gap I'm finding in my experience has been the baby boomers and Gen X. There's quite a disconnect quite often from employers and employees. They actually don't quite get that.
Mm.
But I think hopefully it's changing.
Well, you know, I came across a C-level role the other day. You've heard of CFOs, Chief Financial Officer.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
was a Chief Sustainability Officer.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many large organisations that are taking this seriously.
We're going to talk sustainability in the second half of the show with our intrepid reporter, Adrian Middleton, who's been on assignment at a Sustainable Brands Conference in Sydney.
Fantastic.
It's the first time they've actually held that. But our very first guest is one of Australia's leading social sector innovators and has turned traditional business principles on their heads. That's what we're talking today about, proving that doing good is no barrier to commercial success. She established Pro Bono Australia in 1999 as a for-purpose business. Since then, has developed into a major national hub for the common good. She was awarded a member of the Order of Australia last year for her contribution to the Australian not-for-profit sector and innovation in philanthropy. She was also named as one of Australia's top 100 women of influence. So I thought, she's the perfect person to have on this program, and I give a very warm welcome, Karen Malab. Hello.
Hello, Jackie.
Thank you for coming into the studio and welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Oh, thanks for asking me.
Now, Pro Bono Australia, you started that back in 1999.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah. Most people thought I was absolutely crazy
at
the time. They didn't know what I was talking about.
Really?
Well, how can you want to work with social purpose and still be a business organisation? And it was a point in time where I had been working in business for a long time and found that profit for the sake of making profit, whilst, you know, it's important to give your child education and buy food and shelter and all of those things, profit maximisation really wasn't what gave me a sense of meaning. So I started Pro Bono Australia to create an organisation that actually gave me a sense of meaning whilst doing business.
Ahead of your time, obviously.
Ahead of the time, yeah.
Now, just for those listening who don't quite know what Pro Bono Australia is, can you just explain briefly what it is?
Yeah, so Pro Bono Australia was the first and is the largest hub in Australia for what I call people that empowers and for people who want to engage with the common good. So we have a broad range of services that we offer to people like volunteers, not-for-profit organisations, people who are interested in investing their money for good, people involved with corporate social responsibility, philanthropists. We offer a range of new service of volunteer matching boards, of jobs boards that really give an avenue for people to engage with civil society.
Oh, that sounds so good. Well, you must be so proud to hear yourself say that.
Oh, I know. It's kind of a bit disbelief sometimes, yeah. But we've now had 1 million people to the end of January this year use our services, 1 million unique people use our services over the previous 12 months. And in our new services, we have 80,000 subscribers. So we are the major voice for the community sector in Australia and also for people who are interested in engaging with social purpose.
You got plans for any international expansion?
Maybe,
yes, I thought that might be the case. Now, there's been some new analysis, which is some evidence. So those listening yes. going, oh, I don't know, I'm still not sure about whether I can do good and make money. Now, leading consultancy firm EY, which was formerly Ernst & Young, they yeah. have revealed that Pro Bono Australia generated more than $6.5 million for the not-for-profit sector last year, which is 2015, with a social return investment of $11 for every dollar spent.
Yes.
How did you do it?
Well, it's taken 16 years. it's taken a long period of time, but... A lot of people are getting into the measuring their impact area, which is what we're going to be talking to Adrian a bit later about, which I'll look forward to. But as a social purpose business, we thought, well, whilst we don't take any philanthropic funding or any government funding for that matter, so we can remain independent, we thought that what we needed to do for ourselves was really, and to tell everyone else too, was really measure our own impact that we've had over time. So actually that's only for four of our service deliveries.
Really?
So Ernst & Young came into the picture, EY, and they helped us put together a framework by which we measured our new services, our surveys, our webinars, and our volunteer match program. And that's what we were absolutely blown out.
Were they strategically chosen to give some credibility?
They were strategically chosen in that there was someone in that organisation that I'd worked with for a long period of time who I felt understood us but also understood the social economy.
Yeah.
So that was where we started, and then the process was kind of interesting and long.
Really?
Yeah.
How
and
long?
Difficult. It took us about 8 months to get the final report.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, that is a yeah. long time, isn't it? Yeah. Now, in your experience in 16 years, did you say 16, 17?
Yeah, well, it must be 17
years,
by now.
99. Yeah,
the years keep ticking over, Jackie.
They do, I know, too yeah. fast. So you've seen a lot of change. What's been the biggest change, good or bad, that you've seen in that time?
Well, the biggest change is that a radio show like this would be featuring something on social business,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, really,
good point.
What is social business in 1999, the term would just never have been talked about.
Yeah.
I think particularly in the last decade, we've seen enormous changes. We've seen enormous visibility of philanthropy, enormous visibility of financial questioning about whether business is doing good just by profit maximising. So we've seen enormous questioning about the models of our social institutions, and with a really deep and informed and conversation that's now based on research that's come out over time to say exactly the way you started the session, that the millennials and the new workforce
yeah.
want to work for different types of organisations. PwC last year, in their annual global CEO report, reported that 8 out of 10 of the top talent, and it's about getting top talent, want a values alignment
yeah.
between themselves and the organisation. 57% of the CEOs were concerned with the lack of trust in the corporates, and 30% of their corporates had altered their mission to acknowledge their broader impact society. So it's shifting.
Great,
it's really
great,
shifting.
Great stats. So you are a little, you are ahead of your time, no question.
Yeah.
So in 16 years' time from now, get your crystal ball out. What do you think the landscape
will
be?
Well, my purpose really, or what I see happening, is that the economy will work for people, not the other way around. That our the outcomes, the impacts that we have as people and as companies, particularly business, will have a broader footprint into how we affect our communities, how we affect the planet, and how we affect ourselves.
Karen Marlab, one of the things you mentioned there was is that people are looking for more than just the profitability in a business. Now, a lot of larger businesses have thought that they've had this concept of social focus by donating money. It sounds like it's actually more than that now. It's the actions that they take.
It's starting, Toby. It's really just starting. Corporate social responsibility in the older model used to really be by giving money. And in one small part of the corporate, they'd have this thing called a foundation, which would give donations away, and that would be the corporate's good work in the community sector. These days, however, corporates are getting more and more sophisticated. However, they're not there yet in large part. They're getting more sophisticated in that they've got positions within the organisation that might be responsible for supply chain. So you won't have the Bhopal sourcing of garments from Bangladesh.
Yes.
So supply chain, environment, you'll have them reporting against their targets. You might still have a foundation. So corporate social responsibility is now being spread across a corporate, still not linked up.
Yeah, and I think, Jackie, one of the things is small business can act like this a lot easier, more easily.
Mm.
And from the sounds of things, it's no longer just, I'm going to be quite blunt here, just donating money feels like a lazy way of ticking the box. Actually doing something and structuring your business operation so it takes these issues into consideration. It's probably a better way to do it. And small business, our audience, are more likely to be able to think that way.
Yeah, now hold that thought. Now we're going to talk about sustainability, Karen, on the other side of this break, which I'm fascinated to hear Adrian's report on this first time this conference has been held, which is again a sign of the times that there actually is a conference about sustainability and brand from a branding perspective, which is my area of interest. So I'm fascinated to hear. So listen, smarter, not harder. We are talking about the social purpose business, and we have here my co-host Toby Travenar, our special guest Karen Marlab, and we have welcoming back Adrian Middleton. Hello.
Hello, Jackie.
Nice to see you. Now, you have been on a very big assignment. This week in Sydney was the inaugural Sustainable Brands Conference, and that song obviously was the Earth Song by Michael Jackson, because climate change and a number of key issues is about sustainability. And for the first time ever, this conference has been held, was featuring over 100 speakers leading discussions on how brands can profitably innovate for sustainability. And over a million people have attended these events around the world, and it was the first time it was held in Australia, so I thought it was a good idea Taking Care of Business sent you up there in our special Taking Care of Business Learjet up to Sydney.
Yes, very luxurious
it
Learjet.
Was, that was. Yes, it was. Now, what happened? What was it all about? Was it any good?
Yes, it was very enlightening. So as you mentioned, the Sustainable Brands Conference has been running for some time in San Diego, but it was the first time in Sydney. It's primarily a corporate event, so you do get mainly brand marketing and sustainability professionals from corporate.
Yeah.
So there were some interesting speakers from there, but it's actually not really much about sustainability these days. They were talking more about purpose. So they're saying that sustainability has actually declined somewhat in corporate, and they're trying to align more so with the idea of purpose and how they function as an organisation. And the why they do what they do is more human-centered and has more of a purpose. And getting to some more data, there seems to be a lot of talk about EY. They presented there and they mentioned that employees are three times more likely to stay in organisations with a clear purpose. 89% of customers believe a purpose-driven company will deliver the highest quality product and service. And meaningful brands that are connected to the human well-being outperform the stock market by 120%. So, yes, purpose is seems to be the rage at the moment.
Yeah, well, there's a nice connection between brands and purpose, as my area of expertise, as you know, is brand strategy. And that always has been the key to a great brand is the values. It's driven by values. It's a mixture of rational, emotional and functional elements. But it always has to have a purpose. People align themselves to brands and connect to brands that they either see themselves in or aspire to be, but they're always purpose-driven. But Karen was talking about that earlier with that values-driven. So that's not surprising that sustainability is now talking about purpose now, which is really encouraging.
Absolutely. And in fact, the sustainability has been linked to environment in the past, but actually sustainability itself of organisations is linked to purpose.
That's a real shift. Yeah. That's really interesting.
And again, with the millennials trend, there also seems to be most millennials now want to work for purpose-driven organisations. And considering that in 10 years' time they're going to be 75% of the workforce, it's a very important driver for businesses to consider.
Ah, yes. There's a good trend for growth. And what else did you learn?
Well, how do you activate purpose?
Yes.
So there was a few organisations talking about how they bring about purpose within their organisations. And this is more along the lines of the stakeholder engagement field, but basically it's around making sure you engage with your suppliers, your customers, your shareholders, interest groups that are all connected with your product and service, and understanding what purpose there is for them in the business.
Adrian, I don't know whether B Corporation was up there.
They were. Yes.
We, Pro Bono Australia, is a B Corp. And B Corps are a wonderful new area of for-profit but for-purpose companies aligning together globally. There's over 100 in Australia now and well over 1,000 internationally. And they have a very strict process that you have to go through to with your governance, your purpose, your footprint to get accreditation as a B Corp.
Yeah, no, B Corp are great. I've done a little bit of work with B Corp as well around the measurement side of things. Mm. And yes, there were some organisations there. One particular organisation, the Republic of Everyone, do some advertising and marketing around social purpose. And
so can I interrupt for a minute?
Yes.
B Corp, what is that? Is it a company or is it a mission or a purpose or what?
It's actually a method? It's actually a not-for-profit organisation that started in America. Mm. B equals, it kind of goes on a couple of different levels. You could kind of go A companies, B companies, but it's also benefit corporations.
Okay, so it's the letter B.
It's the letter B.
Right, yeah.
B corporations.
Yes. Yeah.
And, sorry, what was your question?
Well, is it a standard or is it an organisation?
It is a sort of a standard. Right. It's probably a standard more suited to small to medium businesses. Because a lot of the large corporates have the Global Reporting Initiative and those types of indexes that help them manage their...
So is it like an accreditation that you apply for?
Yes. Sounds like a certification.
It is.
Right, okay,
yeah.
Yeah.
It is a certification.
Okay. All right.
It's a certification and it's rigorous. You have to get above 80 points to be certified as a B Corp.
Okay.
Takes some time and effort, but goes into your policies of diversity on your board to what kind of cleaning materials you use to...
Well,
levels.
I've had a quick look. 1,785 B corporations, 50 countries, 130 industries, one unifying goal. I think that's terrific.
Yeah.
I think what's encouraging about that, though, is that there's no real impetus for them to actually do that other than the drive to do good. There's no requirement for them to actually have no reporting requirement for them to actually have to do that. It's just because they want to.
They want to.
Yeah.
Okay, or their employees want it. So it's a possible way of increasing retention.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful way to talk about culture in your organisation.
Yes.
And you talk about culture with your employees and what they want and how they engage. And it's also providing a wonderful community of businesses who think this way.
Yeah,
so linking people up, which is has not been there until now.
Adrian, did they talk about employee retention? Because with the millennials and Gen Y, they don't stay at a place very long. They're quite known to be quite transient.
Yes, they did. They talked about how, well, if you have a purpose-driven organisation, that you are more likely to have higher retention. So as I mentioned before, employees are three times more likely to stay in organisations with a clear purpose. So, yeah, no, it is very important. But what they're also they're looking at is, well, how can those employees participate in that purpose? So there's a lot more... there are many more initiatives now for them to contribute to, say, for instance, working with the homeless and helping, you know, with programs like that and initiatives that they've partnered with not-for-profit and for-purpose organisations to achieve those outcomes.
Okay. What was the biggest takeout for you?
I guess it's what's – well, for me, what I find encouraging is that there's more partnerships occurring, which is what is essential for many of these social and environmental issues to be solved. And one of the key drivers of that is the Sustainable Development Goals. And they were discussed a little bit by Dr. Leora Black, who's head of the Australian Centre for Corporate Social Responsibility. And she released a report that coincided with the event. And the Sustainable Development Goals were released last year in September. They were ratified by 193 countries. It's part of the UN initiatives around sustainable development. But it was followed on from the Millennium Development Goals. And in Australia, the Sustainable Development Goals, there's 17 of them. And what they do is they're a framework that help to bring together corporate, not-for-profit universities to work together to achieve some of these outcomes that will these sustainable outcomes. So some of the organisations there doing that were NAB, Unilever and IAG. And the top sustainable development goals that were of priority to Australia were gender equality, good health and well-being, decent work and economic growth, industry innovation and infrastructure and climate action. So it was good to see that collaboration occurring around that. But
it's interesting, the concept of collaboration as opposed to competition. Is that a trend that you're noticing, that there's a lot more collaboration than there is competition?
Collaboration is absolutely happening. It's happening within the community sector through a movement called Collective Impact, where not-for-profit and for-profit organisations realise that doing things together to address a specific issue is more and more powerful and more needed as resources go down in funding organisations and people have a scepticism around the numbers of organisations doing the same thing. So collaboration has been a real word of action. Collaboration is easier said than done. So slowly, lots of trust building, but it's happening.
It's almost the term co-opetition in one sense.
Yes,
you know, how
is.
Do we how do we remain separate but actually work together?
Yes.
Actually, Adrian Middleton, one of the comments that's been made this morning is about this proof that you described. Certainly when I buy food, I'm looking for certified organic. Do you think this focus on being a sustainable, strong community corporate citizen, right down to being a B Corp, you think people will get to the stage where they're looking for that certification as well?
Yeah, I think with the empowered consumer, this is one of the mega trends that was actually discussed at the conference, is that there's more information available to consumers now, so and they're much more discerning about what they consume. So, yeah, of course, yeah, there's going to be a growing need for certification, for measurement as well. So for organisations to measure how sustainable their products are, there's processes called life cycle analysis where they can do that sort of stuff. But yes, yeah, very much so.
Fantastic.
Get brainier from the best in the business world. I love mega trends. You only listen to mega trends here on Taking Care of Business on Ottawa PFM. Yes, we're all getting a really good feeling here today on Taking Care of Business as we talk about the business or social purpose of business. So we hope you are learning a lot. With our special guest today, my co-host Toby Travenar, special guest Karen Marlab and Adrian Middleton. And we were talking about, leading into the last break, about some mega trends. And Adrian, you said there are some more mega trends. Well, yeah. What are they?
Well, one of the other mega trends. Yeah.
I like that word.
I know. Yeah. One of the other.
Because they're mega.
Mega. He's trying not to laugh.
Yeah, I know. One of the other mega trends they were talking about that was driving sustainability was automation. And there's been a lot of research around automation at the moment. And, well, especially when they're saying things like, I'm just looking for my figures here.
That's all right. Well, you know what? While you look for that, because, you know, we've got all the time in the world, just take your time.
No, by 2030, 40% of jobs in Australia will be lost to automation. So creating, I guess, socially is the idea of, well, there's going to be people without jobs. So,
sorry, Adrian, by what year?
By 2030.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that means...
It's not far away.
That, well, that means... Years, yeah. Children who are in school at the moment have to completely rethink what they might be doing as a career.
Yeah, well, that's. I think there'll be new jobs, obviously, that arise, especially around how you manage the data.
Automation engineers and robotic engineers. And I'm being serious here. If we're automating, there'll be people who are responsible for generating, designing and maintaining those. But, yeah, it's a big difference, isn't it?
It goes back to further than that, to the jobs market. It goes back to the way we teach and the way we learn and what we're teaching and learning about. So social enterprise... and entrepreneurship are two things that really our education system should be aiming at.
Yeah.
It's interesting, we talk about earlier on, we were talking about the private sector now really getting into this space where the not-for-profit, this used to be quite separate, was considered a separate sort of sector. Now we're seeing this collaboration and we're seeing Ernst & Young and National Australia Bank, or NAB, they're now called, getting involved. Karen, what's your experience, or how does Pro Bono Australia address that, trying to attract the corporates, trying to get more interest from business?
We have a section on our site called Good Business, where we have profiles list on our site who want to be seen to be connected with the community sector. And we've got a lot of the big guys in there, as well as a lot of the B corporations we were talking about. We started that part of the site about 7 years ago, and it's been slow to develop. Mm. And now it's really taken off.
Really? Now, when you say now, is that like in the last 6 months, the last 2 years? What's the sort of time frame?
I reckon it's really taken off in the last 6 months.
Oh, really?
Now,
okay.
That's probably our antenna at Pro Bono Australia saying it's really time to put down the accelerator on this part of the site and get some resources out there talking to companies. But the companies have come, like things like the Sustainable Business Conference, the being visible now mean that more and more companies are interested in how they represent themselves to community more generally.
Yes, there's been a worldwide shift. I think the Paris Agreement in December, which was the climate change agreement in Paris, I think that was a bit of a game changer. Mm. And it made a lot of businesses stand up and go, oh, hang on a minute, this is real and this is really affecting my business. But also there's companies like The Body Shop. Now, they were doing a lot of great work, sustainable work, and back in,
Anita
15 Roddick, years. Yes, she was amazing.
She was my inspiration
there
to start Pro Bono Australia 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Astonishing woman.
Yeah, so she's proven. It's the evidence that you can do good and still make money. And so I think it's slowly starting to... get some traction.
Yeah.
But, the last six months,
and
that's
interesting. The turnaround that we want to see is, if you do bad, you don't make money. Or if you don't do good, or if you're not involved with community, you won't do as well.
Mm.
So there's a number of very nice models that are now being shown where that is true.
Yeah, so it's the push and pull and also consumers are now saying, well, with social media and all these other factors affecting
it.
So, I disagree with that. I'd like to put my money to someone that's I trust or respect, as opposed to just sort of feeding the greedy giants.
It's interesting. You can still make money while making a difference by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
And actually, I've got some research here from one of your other guests, regular guests, Jackie, Alex Jamieson.
Yes, yep. Our finance expert.
Indeed. Now, Alex has shown done a lot of work in this area. And if you look at what you might call a responsible business versus a traditional one, and if you talk about the extremes of traditional businesses, it might be tobacco, weapons, you know,
gambling,
yeah, and so on. And maybe a good example of a, let's say, a responsible business might be an organic farm collective or something like that. The average return on investment about these, in this particular example, was that over a 10-year period, the sustainable investment made an 880% return, and the traditional investment made an 873% return. So there's no real, in fact, it's slightly better, but there's no real difference. People aren't taking a hit financially by doing this. And if you look at funds that work on this, so responsible funds, their 7-year performance is 8.38%, and a mainstream fund, their 7-year performance is 7.73%. So close enough, but the responsible funds are actually doing a little bit better.
Another term for this is impact investing. Impact investing is where you invest for social and environmental returns as well as financial returns. This was seen as being small and marginal for a long time, but also in the last just really 2 or 3 years, that has been proven to be absolutely incorrect, that there are very good financial returns to be made when you have a lens for good on your investments. And the deal flow that has been slow in coming before this time is now starting to come through. So you have the major banks like NAB and major private equity organisations developing up deals for people to invest in where they get a good financial return, certainly better than what the banks can offer at the moment, and have a good social impact.
I wonder if that focus on all things within a business actually means that they're having better business practices anyway across the board, which will lead to better profitability.
Yeah, let's talk about small business. We've got quite a large small business audience and business owners, from micro right through to SMEs. What can they do differently in their business that they're doing something good but also trying to make a profit? Are there any tips there for the small business owners listening?
Look, I think small businesses have been the backbone of community for a very long time. And by dint of being in a community, small businesses, I think, have done much better than big corporates always in this respect. I mean, they give to their local community in dollars. They also volunteer into their local community.
Yes.
They're engaged with the people who come into their shops or into their organisations. I think that if they were, that this B Corp accreditation is available and not unaffordable to small businesses, and that, you know, that's a good way to kind of go through all the levels that you operate on. So you look at what cleaning products you do use. You look at who, you know, that you're not discriminating against people you employ. You look at the way that you run your business. So I think that would be a good place to start for small business if they wanted to go further.
Do you think, though, I'm just trying to think, how would they benefit if they got a B Corp accreditation, besides themselves feeling good about it? How could they then translate that into letting their customers know?
Well, B Corp has got that sewn up because they're quite
okay.
A good marketing organisation,
okay,
as well. They've got the kind of logos for
yep.
the front windows
right.
and all of that type of thing. But what I found in our organisation, but also in others who have done it, is just that you might think you're already doing good, but the process of going through the accreditation makes you think of things that you weren't thinking of before.
Yeah, that's always a good
yeah.
thing. I'm interested also, talking from a corporate perspective, that Do people that work in not-for-profit, and there has been a lot of talk about this, if you've worked in not-for-profit, you tend to stay in not-for-profit. Now there tends to be a little bit of crossing ponds and a bit of transference from the corporate sector, jaded corporates going, I'm sick of this, I want to go and do something good. So they're going to not-for-profits. They take quite a substantial pay cut, but they make that up with feeling like they're doing some good. But then they might decide to go back into the corporate sector, but the corporate sector go, I don't know, you're a bit tarnished from working at not-for-profit. Have you had any experience with that?
No, not really.
Okay.
I think it's been a terrific trend. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we've just brought in a head of business from Pro Bono Australia as I step into a different role. And he's come out of 12 years at News Corp and another major corporate. It's doing exactly what you said, completely loving the role. He's fantastic. Hi, Matt. Completely loving the role and is doing it for, completely loving it. The boundaries between the not-for-profit and the corporate sector have been blurring in recent years.
So do you think the not-for-profit will start matching salaries?
Well, not CEO salaries, yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. Not-for-profit salaries will never get to the level that corporate CEO salaries will, and nor should they.
I was going to ask you, should they or shouldn't they? Why shouldn't they?
Well, are you talking, what level are you talking?
Any level, really. I suppose it's just about attracting good talent.
Yes.
If the dollar is your main driver, it's certainly a factor.
Well, I don't think anyone who for whom the dollar is the main driver tends to work in the not-for-profit sector or for purpose.
Right.
And there's happiness research that shows if you're earning over, I think it might be up these days, $130,000 a year, your happiness coefficient doesn't go up anyway. So there's only a certain amount that you need for your basic well-being.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And from that point on, obviously if you want to send your kids to private schools, you need more than that. And the not-for-profit sector does offer some people very high salaries, and that's okay to attract talent. When you're talking the big CEOs in the big corporates.
Oh, when they're getting $15 million worth of
bonuses.
Right, okay, yeah.
That's
top.
It. Yeah. That's
look,
not
it's a different.
Happen.
You're attracting different people at that stage, and money's power. I couldn't spend that much money in a year, it gets to that stage. But I think I'm really encouraged by this in the sense that people from a corporate background will bring in some corporate rigor and professional rigor into the not-for-profit sector. But if they've worked in not-for-profit and they go back into the corporate sector, then they'll bring in a lot of those values and attitudes into that.
Yes.
So the more that we can mix, the more that people can go across sectors, I think it's very good for Australian business.
Yeah, mixing is good. We hope you're enjoying eavesdropping on our interesting conversation. We are talking about social purpose and the purpose of business. And that was The Fighter by Keith Urban. And a lot of this in the past has been fighting for a cause. And I think what we're listening to, we've gone beyond cause, haven't we? We've gone, it's merged from cause, sustainability, environment, has all merged up to purpose.
Yep.
Do you think?
A new way of being in the world, a new way of institutions and us being in the world.
It's quite a fundamental shift, isn't it?
It is a very fundamental shift and very necessary.
Now, Pro Bono Australia, Karen, that you started back in 1999, you mentioned earlier that you've got a new role. What are you doing?
Well, I've been running the organisation now for 16 years, and so we kind of drew a line under that with Matt coming on as head of business, measuring our impact and reaching 1 million users. So I have taken a step back to go into a more sensing, creative space to work out what comes next, both for Pro Bono Australia, but probably, in a kind of grandiose way, what's happening in the world. And so I'm doing various bits and pieces, looking at where Pro Bono Australia could go next. Certainly being that voice for purpose more generally. Mm. And I'm doing that in various ways.
And you're on a lot of boards as well.
I am.
I'm a lot of boards.
No, not so much. Not too anymore. Many? I've been Which on a lot of
you
boards,
have
but
been
I'm
a
actually
lot.
On a couple of boards and maybe a leadership council or two now.
Do you
I'm on yes.
So go on.
I'm on the board of the wonderful Reichstein Foundation that's funded progressive social issues for about 40 years. Mm. Delighted to be with that crew. And on the board of this wonderful organisation called the Australian Art Orchestra that's about cross-cultural music, really, largely jazz and improvisation. It was started by Paul Grabowski, and Peter Knight is now the artistic director. And I think my specialty is having feet in lots of different sectors and lots of different
I was going
camps.
To ask you about that. Yeah. So is the benefit of that integration for you, that you can leverage that?
Yes, yeah. I think I cross-fertilise.
Yes, I love cross-fertilising.
Yes.
Now, you'd be good at managing your time, I'm assuming.
I don't manage my time.
Really?
I don't know.
I've perceived that you would. Oh, yeah. There you go. So have you got a quick time management tip? How do you do it all? How do you stay focused when you sort of – I don't like using the word juggling, but for the sake of this conversation, how do you stay focused on doing one thing at a time well?
I'm a big yoga person, so I'm a very present. I'm kind of like a present person. Yes.
I always like to get behind this wonderful person to go, what drives them? What are some of the tips or keys to success?
Trust your true north. So listen to those intuitive things that make you go, oh, that's good, or that opened my mind, or and you follow that through.
So that true north that you're talking about, can a small business actually have a very clear passion and true north and be sustainable, both in terms of what we've been talking about today, but also sustainable as a business, in other words, able to put food on the plate for a long period of time? Do you think they can do it?
Yes.
Oh, that's a nice short answer there. Yeah. I think that's the key thing here. If people are, the small business owners are passionate about what they're doing, they believe in it, and as long as there's a marketplace for it, let's face it, I think what we considered to be an alternative in the past is becoming the new norm. People are looking for organisations who are thinking responsibly, who are thinking where their raw materials are coming from, who are thinking how they employ people. And I'm happy to say, by the sounds of what both Adrian said earlier and what Karen's been saying now, is that I think hopefully that is the new norm and may it continue.
Well, it's not the norm yet, but there's a lot of people who are in it, doing it, thinking about it, and pushing for it, because as we all know, at the end of this financial year and with a election looming tomorrow, the world is becoming more polarised in so many ways, and we need to, you know, work together.
Keep up the good fight.
Yeah.
And create the business plan.
Correct.
But also define the business impact. I like the use of the term impact. You talk about impact investing.
Yeah.
I think that's really good. But there was a really lovely quote here from Mark and Craig Kyleberger, who were co-founders of Free the Children. They said, making money doesn't have to come at the expense of making change.
No.
I thought that was a nice sort of tie-up. Now, Adrian Middleton, have you got a little pearl of wisdom you'd like to leave us with?
It's probably not really mine, but it's one that I took out from the Sustainable Brands Conference. It's around strategy. So for the small business owners out there, it's a simple way to look at sustainability and strategy is it's a five-year plan in a 30-year context, and you need to understand the global forces around that.
Okay, that's there.
And there's many of those global forces around at the moment that you need to consider.
There are. Adrian Middleton, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jackie.
For that. How's your you're a sustainable expert now, sustainable consultant.
Yes.
You're starting a new business. How's it going?
Yeah, I was speaking to Karen about that earlier. The measuring impact. I'm doing some of that work now, which is great fun, and helping organisations, for-purpose organisations, measure how effectively they're achieving their impact, and hopefully that encourages more investment into the sector by doing so.
Excellent. Well, we'll keep in touch. I look forward to your next assignment. I like sending you an assignment.
Yeah, I love your assignments.
I know you just like the use of the Learjet.
Yeah, I like that, but I never know where I'm going to go with
No, you, you never know, but no. I love you coming back with mega trends. Yeah. You have to come back.
I will come back with more
always,
mega trends.
Always, yeah, do that. Kara Marlab, thank you very much for coming in. It's been an
pleasure.
Absolute delight to meet you.
Same.
And listen to your story. Wish you all the best for your new role at Pro Bono Australia.
Thank you.
We'll put a link to our Facebook page for Pro Bono, those that want to know a bit more about it.
Wonderful.
And please keep in touch.
Yes,
wonderful.
Love to.
As always, Toby Travener, absolute delight.
You know what?
Nice to see you.
Giving you a thumbs up on radio is no good, but I'm giving you a verbal thumbs up.
Oh,
right
there. I was going to say, yeah, because no one can see those things. We hope you've heard lots of advice and got lots of inspiration today and are now convinced that you can actually do good and make money. I think that's the key message today, isn't it? What's that, Karen?
I was just going to say, to know all about this stuff, our new services are free and people can just go to our website and sign up for them.
Great.
And that's a way of finding out about this stuff on an ongoing basis.
We'll put a link to our Facebook page
awesome.
To find all about that. That's wonderful. So thank you very much to our special guests. You can join the discussion on our Facebook page. We look forward to your company next Friday, 11 a.m. In the meantime, keep taking care of your business.